Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm your host, Elder Gregory Newsom with the Faith in God Internet TV. God bless you on this wonderful Friday. We bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's ahead of our life. And we honor our leadership today, our Honorable Pastor, Bishop Dr. Ellis Murchison Sr., and to Lady Paulette of the Pentecostal Power Church, and to my own lovely wife, Missionary Newsom, and to all of you. God bless you. We thank God for you joining the Touch and Agree Prayer Hour today. We do want to pray today. This is our final broadcast until after convention. We just want to come on today and have prayer because we need prayer. People of God need prayer. I need prayer. I don't know nobody that don't need prayer. And so we need the help of God. And we have special requests up before us and want to ask the saints of God and the people of God to please pray for our presider, assistant presider. Please pray for my pastor, Bishop Murchison, and Lady Paulette. Pray for them that God will continue to touch their bodies and also strengthen them and enable them to do the work that God has called them to do. And we're praying for that, that God will continue to strengthen them and enable them to do the work that he has commanded and commissioned them to do. Please pray for our unsaved loved ones. I'm just trying to see one second here, make sure we're broadcasting here. Let's see here. Maybe it'll go on later, but anyway, we just want to pray that the will of God be done in the lives of the people of God. And that's one of the prayer requests that we have. And we're just asking that the saints will continue to pray for those that are in the hospital, those in the nursing homes, those behind prison walls. Let us pray for those that requested special prayer, our Mother Heron, the Hatch family. Let us continue to pray for the Beeman family, the Dotson family, and others that you may know about. Let us pray. We're going to touch and agree and pray for the families that God would touch them and also bring healing unto them, because we need intercessory prayer, and we're believing God that he would do just what he said he would do for the people of God. And so that's our prayer request. I'm just checking real quick to make sure that we are broadcasting. And just want to make sure that we are live. And we are. Yep. And yep, so we are live. Just wanted to verify that. And with that being said, we want to continue to pray and petition the Lord on the behalf of the people of God. Let us pray for all pastors, bishops, elders, ministers, and saints, even the center man and the center woman. There was an accident on yesterday where the car had flipped upside down and the windshield was out, and it was horrific. So we wanted to pray for that family. We hope there was no loss of life. And so we want to pray that God would touch those families that are impacted by accidents and various things that just come that we didn't hope for or look for, but it came. And so we want to pray for those different things that God will continue to touch and bring those out that need to be brought out of life-threatening situations. And so let us pray for that. Continue to pray for our Bishop Scott and the church there in Florida, Bishop Mark Jones and Mother Jones and the saints there, saints everywhere, Bishop and Mother Bullock, Bishop and Mother Young. Let's pray for Pastor Hill and Elder Gerald Green, the church in Minneapolis. Let us continue to pray for Grand Rapids, the church in Grand Rapids, Brighter Life, where Pastor Evans and Mother Evans is leading that ministry. And let us pray for all the Northern District churches as well and all the said districts in our organization. And most of all, I want to pray for our executive board of bishops. And please pray for Brother Newsom and his family, that God will just continue to smile on us and grant us his favor. We're going to go into the throne of grace with prayer as we intercede for a brief time, and then we'll go a little bit farther with exhortation on today. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, as we off time do, we want to give you thanks and give you praise for who you are. I want to thank you, God, hallelujah, for your presence. And God, I want to thank you for just having, oh God, sweet communion and fellowship in the Holy Ghost. I want to thank you, God, for meditation on this morning. I want to thank you for your word, God, that's continuing, oh God, being permeated through our hearts and minds. I want to thank you, God, for just having prayer time and study time and time to seek your face. We want to thank you today, Lord God, even for the saints of God and those that have special requests, oh God, that has, oh God, been, oh God, uttered and requested, God, upon the hearts of the people, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, look on the Beeman family, the Hatch family, and oh God, look on Bishop Prather, look on, oh God, hallelujah, Bishop and Mother Wallace, look on the saints, oh God, hallelujah, those that are sick among us, look on the Beeman family, oh God, Deacon Beeman, and oh God, Evangelist Beeman, and oh God, the Zion family, touch them right now, comfort them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, look on, oh God, hallelujah, Pastor Parshay, tender bless, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, all of the people of God, look on, oh God, Mother Brumfield, look on, oh God, hallelujah. Pastor Conley, touch right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, and all the members there, we ask you to bless in a special way, Lord God, even Pentecostal Power Church in Milwaukee and all of its said members. We pray, God, you would keep us connected, keep us unified. Oh God, as the man of God has spoken, we ask you to continue to touch Bishop Murchison and Lady Paulette and their family today. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. And oh God, we rebuke the adversary, God, that come, oh God, to, oh God, discourage. We ask in the name of Jesus, God, that they will, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, be healed and be delivered. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it right now. Oh God, you will lift them up, God, in you. Oh God, that you will continue to get the glory out of their lives. Bless them right now, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, continue to lay your hands on us, God, as we look to you. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look on our mothers, God, those that are sick, those that are tearing, those that are seeking, God, for the Holy Ghost. Touch them, God. Do it again for us, God. God, we know that you're able, God, and we know, God, that you can do all things but fail. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Lord, we thank you for it right now. And God, we seal it with a praise. In the matchless name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. And it is so. Oh, God, look on that family right now. Oh, God, hallelujah. That's hurting, God. Touch them, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Look on, oh, God, that family, God, that's dealing with alcoholism. Touch them, God. Oh, God, bring deliverance, God, in the name of Jesus. Look on that backslider. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God, look on that sinner man, that sinner woman, God. Oh, God, that they will stop their ways, oh, God, and repent of their sins, God, and turn to you. And, oh, God, hallelujah, let you fill them, oh, God, with all the goodness of God. Thank you, God. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we give you glory. We give your name honor. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And it is so. In the name of Jesus, look on, oh God, my sister, oh God, Luvinia, look on, oh God, in the name of Jesus, all of those that are on the altar, God, fill them up, God, Mother Summers, all of our mothers, God, all of the saints, God, do it again for us, God, do it again for Brother Newsom, God, help us, God, that we, oh God, might be, oh God, a vessel, God, hallelujah. Thank you, God. A vessel, God, that you can use for your glory. We thank you now that we yield and submit ourselves unto you. Help us, God, as we continue, oh God, sacrifice daily and lay aside every weight and every sin. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, continue to direct our hearts and direct our minds, God, that you might be glorified. And we thank you for it right now in the precious name of Jesus. Look on Mother Flowers, God. Touch her body today, God, in the name of Jesus. Do it, God. Oh God, you know how, God. You know just what to do. And Father, we give you praise right now. We believe your report. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we claim healing and deliverance. Look on our youth. Lord, continue to bless them. And oh God, increase them with knowledge and understanding of your word, God. And oh God, give them stability. Oh God, increase their faith. Oh God, as well as, oh God, the people of God. And we thank you for it. We give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. And we thank you for healing and deliverance. Thank you for comforting that family, God. Oh God, now we're going through. Touch the Dotson family. Touch them right now. We pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We decree and declare it. Look on, oh God, Bishop Tompkins and Lady Beth Tompkins. Bless them, God. In the name of Jesus. Do it, God. And we'll glorify you. We'll praise you. We'll magnify you. We'll lift you up, God. Look on District Elder Turner and True Holiness family. Oh, God, bless them, God, in the anniversary service. Bless them, God. Look on District Elder Raymond Johnson and New Mount Olive family. Bless them, God. Oh, God, and we thank you for it right now. We decree and declare it, God, to be done in the name of Jesus. And all that you have spoken over the lives of the people, God. Oh, God, we receive it by faith, and we thank you in advance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Speak to our hearts, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the praise. And we thank you for it right now. In the matchless name of Jesus, to the glory of God, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we thank God for the word of prayer. And we want to move fast and move expeditiously to share a word of hope unto the people of God. And so with that being said, we want to move swiftly into the scriptures. And we want to share what God has put on our hearts for the people of God at this hour. And so let us take a look at a few scriptures. And we're going to go to Romans for a moment here. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7. And we're in our series number 5, which we're going to pick up when we get back from Pentecost Convention. We are in our series number 5. And so we're going to try to get back to that if the Lord's will. And so I want anybody to lose track. We're gonna pick it back up at chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. We'll wait for that phone call to go through, and we're gonna pick it right up. All right, we're gonna get it. All right. Okay, so now let's look at Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7. Let's see if I can get the scripture reader on the screen, and we're going to try to go to Romans chapter 7, I believe. Let's see. Okay, Romans chapter 7. I think we're there. All right. Yep, we're in Romans chapter 7. So we're going to put scripture on the screen for you. Yes, that's what we want. We're in Romans chapter 7. We want to talk about today the battle within you. We're going to talk about that for quite a while throughout the month of May when we get back. But the battle within you. And I want to say to the people of God, we all believers, non-believers, whatever walk of life that we may be in at this present time, we're not only bombarded, but sometimes we're inundated with various things that come in our path that sometimes we have control of, and some things we don't have control of. And some environments we may have control of, and some environments we don't have control of. And so the question came up, you know, is what do we do as believers? And so we got young believers, we got new believers, we got believers that's been in this walk a long time. So how do we help one another that have different battles at different stages in life and different age groups? And so this thing came to mind as I was looking through some scripture today, and I found some scripture that kind of helps provide some insight on these different battles. Now, I want to make sure before we get into the scripture that we know that you're going to have battles. All right. I don't want anybody to think, you know, when the battle comes that, oh, something's wrong. And hey, why is this happening? You know, why am I going through this, or why is this happening to me? We know when you decide whether you live for God or you don't decide to live for God, there's going to be different battles. But we're going to talk about some of those for the believer, and then we'll get into the non-believer battles because they're inundated with a lot of other things that the enemy uses to keep them bound. But we want to talk about the saints that have been liberated so we can continue to remain free and understand what's also freely given unto us as a people of God. And so I want to say to the people of God, those of you that are saved, those of you that are sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're no longer bound. All right. I know people may say you're bound because you believe in a standard and a dress code, and you believe in living holy. You believe in living right. We're not basing your lifestyle by the standard of others, but we're basing the lifestyle based on a standard or a measure of faith that God has ordained for the people of God to live by. And so we're not going to be defined by what the world says, all right, or what, you know, the secular realm have their opinion, all right? We're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the scripture in Romans chapter 7. And I want to let you know, you're no longer bound. And you said bound, what do you mean? We're no longer bound to the law. We're no longer bound, you know, to obey the lust of our flesh. Because now God has performed a new thing. He's, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. And so the old things are passed away, and now behold, all things have become new. Now, we're not going to get into much theology of it until we get into the month of May. We'll get into the, you know, the theory side of it, a theologian side. But now we're just dealing with raw scripture today. All right. Raw truth. All right. And he says, know ye not, brethren. I'm in Romans 7:1. He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Apostle Paul was very astute in the law. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, and he knew many languages. He was a very good student of the law. He was a Pharisee, all right? And so we want to let you know that he was well-educated, all right? We're not going to deal with education side of this, but we want to deal with the side of the scripture that deals with. He says, how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he lived. So under the Old Testament, as long as that person was alive, they was bound to the law that God dispensed to Moses, and Moses gave it to the people. All right? That's why it was called the Mosaic Law. All right? And so now when we look at this, he says, for a woman which has an husband is bound by the law unto her husband, so long as he liveth. This was, the law was, you know, humanity was married to the law as long as that person was alive. Just like a woman is bound to her husband as long as he's alive. Apostle Paul makes this assertion and makes this contrasting comparison. All right. He makes it, you know, a parallel to the law, you know, a relationship. The relationship that man had with God was through his law that he suspended through the Mosaic law to keep man in line until he left the earth. So God had order in place. And I know people in church today, they don't think there should be any type of guidance. But everywhere you go, there's some regulation, some rule, some guide. So we're not going to get into all this legalism stuff that people claim is legalism. We're not going to deal with that either. We want to deal with scripture, truth, all right? Raw truth. Now let's take a look. He says here, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. You probably say now, Elder Newsom, where are we going with this? Let's take a look. He says here, she be married to another man, and she be called an adulteress. So then, while her husband is alive, here's the scripture. If her husband is alive, this is what it says here now. If her husband is alive, and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Look at this. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. And this is what I wanted to, you know, deal with to let us know that there's wars going on within us. And the only way that these wars can be won, we need Christ to be at the forefront and the center of our lives. And this is why prayer is important. Sacrificing unto the Lord, meditation, consecration, fellowship, study of the word, serving the Lord, praising the Lord, doing all these different things, helping your fellow man, helping your fellow brother and sister. All these things are important. And they're important because they help us in areas that we battle. And I can tell you right now, if the believer gets weak and don't stay, you know, in the flock and stay connected and stay with those other believers, they will branch off and get weak and begin to get discouraged. And then they begin to have a bigger battle of living according to God's law, according to God's word. They'll find reasons to say, hey, you know, nobody cares. You know, nobody loves me. And that's far from the truth, because the enemy has done this, and he's very, very cunning. He's very crafty, and he knows he's a master of deception, and he knows how to discourage. And so we have to be strengthened one with another through the word of God. Now let's take a look here. He says, wherefore my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So Christ places us outside of a danger zone. Not saying because we have Christ, we're not going to have battles, but it places us closer to God than the law ever could. It places us in the body of Christ and also in the Spirit of God. Places us back to the place that God intended in the beginning. Now, let's take a look. He says here, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. I'm going to read that again. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, it's important that we understand when we are blood washed and born again, there's a process that starts. And in this process of growth and development, there's changes. There's things that come in our path that we didn't ask for. There's stuff that occurs that we don't understand. And we must not only just grow to know, but we learn as we grow. We should learn as we grow. All right. If we're not learning or growing and not learning, we're going to lack knowledge. We're going to lack understanding. And Hosea 4 and 6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not because God didn't dispense the law or dispense his knowledge or share his knowledge or make his knowledge known, but it was because the people rejected the knowledge. Give you an example. Give you a clear example of why we got wars within you or within us. Why we got wars within us. When we fail to come to Bible class, or we fail to listen to the instructions of, you know, the pastor or the leadership, we're getting into danger zone areas. We're getting into hot zones that can cause, you know, those seeds that are intended to do their job to be scorched. All right. And so this is why people can come to the church and they'll last a little while and boom, they're gone, because they have to get some depths in God. And so here's the thing. It's important that you bring fruit to God, unto God. And so as you grow, there's spiritual fruits that are growing. And as you mature, you're developing in a way that God will be pleased, and that God will enable us to deny ourselves enough that whatever war is going on within us, that Christ will be at the forefront, at the helm, and it won't destroy the vine or overtake us. So it's important that we know these things, that it's important that we keep Christ at the forefront, and we'll bring the fruit unto God. And it says, for when we were in the flesh, we all have a flesh, and we all have walked in the flesh, and nobody was born saved. All right. So let's just get that out the way. You wasn't born saved, but you had to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So growth and development is very necessary. All right. But he says here, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members. So when we weren't saved, the fruit that we brought displayed fruit unto death. It did not represent or reflect Christ. All right? Did that contrast make a lot of sense? Before we got saved, the things we did, and this is, he's talking about the converts before Christ came. But I'm making the parallel to, the unregenerated. Before we got saved, the parallel was we didn't know nothing about God. And Romans here, he's talking about the unregenerated converts under the law before they were repentant and got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and become believers. All right. So I want to make sure you know that I know where we are in the scripture. But now to us, before we got saved, we didn't have no knowledge prior. Some did, but I deal with myself personally, have no prior knowledge of the things of God in this in an open form. You know, we saw churches, we went past churches, you know, we went to church occasionally, but didn't have a understanding about anything about church. We just went because my auntie took us a few times as kids, but that was it. But let's make a long story short. The war within you is going to show the fruit of what kind of war it is. Let me explain. If you got lust in your flesh, it's going to reveal lust. If it's hatred, it's going to reveal that. If it's envy, it's going to reveal that, and so on and so on and so forth. But you're going to bring fruit, all of those things that are not right, it's going to bring fruit unto death. And this is why we let everybody know in Romans 6 and 23 there, go back. If you go to Romans 6 and 23, it lets us know for the wages of sin, for the payment of sin is death. So the war within you is going to yield one of the two currencies. The currency of the fruit of righteousness unto God is going to yield eternal life. But now the fruit of sin is going to yield eternal death. And so for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right? And so if we bring forth fruit unto death, it's going to place us in a position where we're going to be separated from God. And this is what Apostle Paul was alluding to. And as I get ready to close, I just want to get started with some of this, because this is going to be a pretty tough series, this one here, as we talk about the war within you. You know, everybody's having a different kind of war. Some of us have similar wars, but some people got a different war. Some people have fighting the war of mental disease. Some people are fighting a war of demons. You know, some people are fighting a war of lust and various different things that is coming against them. Some people are, you know, dealing with the war of low self-esteem. You know, I'm heavily opinionated about what people think about me. You know, and these are things people may try to, you know, make one greater than the other one and try to compare. But everybody's got some kind of battle that they're battling with. And so no matter what the battle is, we want to point you to Christ. No matter what the, you know, struggle is, we want to point you to Christ, because Christ overcame all of these struggles. Even the last enemy that the church is going to face, which is death. God has already triumphed over death. And so if we're in him, we will also, if we stay in him, we will triumph over death. But here's the thing. He says, and I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm trying to finish this scripture. I'm going to go to Romans 7 and 6. He says, but now we are delivered from the law. Paul alludes, he makes this assertion, which is true. that we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. All glory be to God. And not in the oldness of the letter. And so what was Paul saying here? Now that Christ has fulfilled the scriptures and has given us his Holy Spirit, we're no longer bound to the letter. And we're dealing with the letter of the Mosaic law, right? Christ fulfilled the law. We know the letter kill it, the Spirit give it life, but there no longer have to be the traditional sacrificial system. That's what we're dealing with, all right? The sacrificial system was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He's our Passover lamb. He's the sacrifice. He's the offering, And he was not only priest, prophet, but he also was a sacrifice. And so we need to understand that Christ fulfilled the law, that we no longer have to be bound to just the sacrificial system and the things that pertained to that. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. The law having a shadow of good things to come could not make the commas there too perfect. But look at this. Being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of letter. Now, it's important. Some people try to establish a relationship with God by keeping a set of rules. This is what the law dealt with. They had to obey the Ten Commandments. And they had to be faithful. And they had to have some good works. But it could not bring them to that place that was acceptable with God. Why? Because they were flawed to do those things that was written in the law. This is why scripture says in Romans 8 and 1, therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We see Moses got in his flesh, and God told him to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock. And we can see he was held accountable for his actions. And so we can look at God's law also reveals sin. And so when we look at this lesson plan of the struggle within you, we have to really target what we're battling with. Now that Christ has freed us from the law, in the sense that we had to deal with a sacrificial system, you know, with divers washing and cleansing, and then offerings and sacrifices that had to be offered every year. Now we don't have to do all that stuff. Oh, glory be to God. I'm so glad for Christ. But now that we're not bound to the law, we still have some things that we're battling within. And sometimes people say, well, I can't see your struggle. That may be true. You may not can. Some people, you can see they struggle. But we, through the Spirit, know that there is struggle, because there is good and there's evil. And so some people are dealing with this struggle, if you will. And let's go to I want to read something for you here. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" Paul says here, "God forbid. Nay, he said, I had not known sin, but by the law." Law reveals sin. It revealed a struggle. And it also today reveals our struggle. Sin reveals our struggle. Look at this. Because scripture says in James, you know, it's not a sin to be tempted, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and an enticed. So when an individual is enticed, the battle within you, where does the enticement come from? The enticement comes from the flesh. This is why we have to be careful what goes into our eye gate and our ear gate. You listening to music that's got a lot of swearing and cussing in it. You watching movies with a lot of swearing and cussing in it all the time. I'm going to hit it. After a while, that's all on your mind is swearing and cussing and singing this crazy music. Oh, let me quit. Oh, glory. So we got to make sure what we do now, that we do it with heavenly mind. So it's important that we keep feeding ourselves positive things, spiritual things, things that edify, and things that will not plunge us into flesh or pull us away from God. So all you can think of is, you know, I don't know. I don't like use different artists and stuff like that because I don't criticize the artists. They're doing what they're doing because they in the world and they making money. But the scripture let us know that we should love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, they of the world. And so it's important for us to understand these things. We need to make sure that we follow wholesome teaching, spiritual teaching, spiritual truths that can be found in the Word of God. And let's take a look here. He says, "For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." He wasn't even aware of it till the law came. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which is covetous desire. I'm going to have to take this one moment. All right, I had to take that, but he says here in the scripture, and I want to repeat it so we can, I got to get out of here. I got some things I need to take care of, but it says here, "I had not known lust except the law has said, thou shall not covet." "But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence," which was covetousness, desire, carnal. Look at this. "For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, Paul talks about something that's very powerful, and I'd like to get into it. We'll get into it on the next series when he says here, I was alive without the law once. We'll get into that later, but we're going to look at this other latter part of scripture. But he says, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And it says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So there was nothing wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with God's system. Let me say this. There's nothing wrong with God's system. There's nothing wrong with God's word. The problem we have, the issue we have, is the struggle that's on the inside. To follow, obey, and submit to the righteous instruction. And have you ever got to this point? Let me use this point as an analogy, and then I'm gonna let you go. You remember how you can set a small cookie jar out on the counter, and you can say, you know, only get you two cookies out the jar. I'm gonna use this analogy. There's nothing wrong with the cookies, and there's nothing wrong with the commandment or the permission that was given. Only take two cookies out the jar. And for some reason, you know, when we were kids, or, you know, when we were younger, or when we're not, when we were not mature enough or understood consequences behind not doing well as we was instructed, we were, if there were no instructions about how many cookies to get, we just reach in there and get however many we wanted. All glory be to God. I'm trying to make a parallel and a connection to why God sets limits and sets boundaries. Because without limits and boundaries, as a people of God, we just run them up. And, this is why it's important, you know, for, you know, without a vision, the people perish. And so there has to be, you know, some boundaries. There has to be some limits set. And so if we are told only to get two cookies out the jar, and we don't really understand, we will eat all the cookies out the jar. But the point is, did we follow the particular guideline or instructions that was given? And this is the same thing in the scripture when we look at it, that when we walk in the flesh, we're not going to heed to the commandment. No matter how just it is, or no matter how good it is, flesh is not going to be subjected, because the flesh is only going to be deceived into thinking that I can do what I shouldn't be doing and still be right with God. And this is the problem we have with people. People struggle. The pastor, the leaders, leadership counsels them, gives them instruction, and they don't find any big problem with the instruction until they're faced with a dilemma, the cookies. Oh, glory be to God. So here's where we are. We don't realize the struggle is within us until we receive the instructions of how to deal with a thing. And a lot of times, things I've been counseled on, things you've been counseled on, things the people God been counseled on was not to bind you, but to protect you. Oh, glory be to God. And so we have protections in Christ when we follow those things that leads unto life. Here it is. He said, was then that which is good made death unto me? This is what Paul says. God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. The law was given to reveal sin. Boundaries are set and limits are set to keep us from overindulging. Oh, glory be to God. Sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, Paul reveals something. I got to let you go now. Paul reveals something here. Said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And we're going to stop there. We're going to pick it up, if the Lord's will, the next time. We're going to pick it right up at Romans 7 and 14. We're going to pick it up there because it's important. We got to understand that was a blood purchase. And if you still doing the thing that God hates, we have to examine, did the purchase go through? There are some transactions, you know, you put the card in and it's sitting there and it's thinking, it's processing the payment. And I just want to make sure that the transaction cleared, because if the transaction gets rejected, all glory be to God, because of my choice that I made, all glory be to God. Sin always rejects a transaction of what the cross, what Jesus did on the cross. There remain no more sacrifice for sin. All glory be to God. If we choose to do wrong after knowing how to do right. All glory. Let me get out of here. I got to go. But you can see I'm getting worked up now. But we're gonna finish this in the month of May when I get back, if the Lord's will. We're talking about the battle within you. Not nobody else. We're talking about Brother Newsom today. The battle within you. And we all have them, whether we be pastors, bishops, whatever the case may be, whatever category we fall in as in humanity, there's a battle. And we're going to talk about how Christ equipped us to overcome and win these battles. And want to let you know that you're not bound, all glory be to God, to sin. You're not bound to the flesh. You're not bound, in the sense of sin has dominion over you. If you're a baptized believer, repented of your sins, received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues of the Spirit of God, give utterance, walking right, walking obedience, being faithful, doing all the things that's necessary for you to establish good relationship with God and with your brothers and sisters. If there's a battle within you, we got to look at the Word of God to find the deficiency. And when we look at the Word of God and find the deficiency, it equips us with knowledge to lead us to life. And so there's no reason that any Christian or believer should continually be walking in the flesh unless there's a choice that's made by the flesh. All glory be to God. Does that make sense? Because the spiritual man is not going to choose carnal things. All glory. Does that make sense? The spiritual man is not going to choose death. The spiritual man is going to choose life. All right? And so I'm trying to deal with it with just raw scripture and not have to deal with any commentary or theology about this. The spiritual man is going to pick spiritual things every time, every day of the week. But the carnal man is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And so the battle within us, there's an amount of carnality that needs to die. It needs to be crucified. He said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but the Christ that liveth within me. And he says, oh, glory be to God. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me and gave himself for me. You got to recognize it was a blood purchase. And the only way that purchase has been hindered or hampered or the transaction didn't go through is if you didn't truly repent in the first place. Oh, glory. Let me get out of here. I got to go. But these are the faithful words of Brother Newsom with the Faith in God Internet TV broadcast. We want to say God bless you. Thank you for joining the Touch and Agree Prayer Hour. We want to go ahead and close out with prayer. There may be somebody that need prayer. And so if you need prayer, we're here to pray for you and your family. And so we're going to go before the throne of grace again, and then we're going to let you go. Father God in heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you once again for your blessing today. We ask you to touch the hearts of those that are listening and those that viewed the broadcast on today and those, oh God, hallelujah, that have special requests up before you. We ask you to touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Look on that sinner man, that sinner woman. Look on, oh God, that backslider. Look on, oh God, that saint that needs strength, that believer, God, that needs, oh God, another touch. We ask you would do it right now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we give you glory. Hallelujah. We give you praise, God. It's your anointing that makes the difference, God. And we pray right now that the yoke will be destroyed because of your anointing. We decree it now, and we thank you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise, and we claim deliverance, oh God, to your people. God, we speak life, and oh God, we say live in the name of Jesus. We speak life, God. We say live, glory to God, and God, we speak it a third time, oh God, with confirmation and affirmation, live to the glory of God. We thank you. We forever give you praise in Jesus' name to the glory of God. Thank God. Amen. And amen. We speak healing and to the people of God, and we speak all the promises that God, amen, has promised to you. Amen. We can stand on his promises because, amen, God is not a man that he should lie. And so these are the faithful words of Elder Newsom. We hope that you enjoyed the broadcast and we said something to edify and encourage the people of God. Thank you for joining us today. We hope and pray that you would have blessed praise and worship service at your particular church this weekend. This will be the final airing of our broadcast until we're taking an intermission. We'll be back, I believe, May 22nd. If the Lord is willing, it'll be May 22nd. That week of May 22nd, we will reconvene back here. We will be in our 70th annual Pentecost. And so we ask the people of God to come be a part of that. We want to put the flyers on the screen for you. District Elder Bishop-elect Turner is having his pastoral anniversary this weekend. For those of you that desire to be a part of that, please come and support our District Elder and his pastoral anniversary. We want to support all of those that are in the body of Christ that we can, if we have availability to do so. That's our desire, is to do that. And so we ask you would help lift up the name of Jesus to all these different flyers and things that are going on. If they're in your area, we ask if you could come and support and help encourage our brother and sister in the Lord. All right. So we're going to say God bless you. Thank you for joining today. And special shout out to my bishop, Bishop Murchison, and Lady Paulette. We want to ask you to pray for them and that their hearts continue to be encouraged to continue to do the great work that God has commanded them to do. All right. And so with no further ado, we want to thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Elder Gregory Newsom. with the Faith in God Internet TV. Until next time, God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, I'm on a broadcast.